God tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
And we don't hear any response from them, no repentance at all. You know, he even asked his wife, is this true? She said, oh yeah, that's true, you know. So she had an opportunity to repent. And I think the Lord did this so quickly here in the early church to show us that he will not tolerate these kind of things. He may not fall over right away, but the day will come where God's going to ask you and me, what about you? You know, why did you do what you did? And why did you not repent? So I tell you what, when I read this passage, it puts fear in me. And I think it should put fear in us that we cannot play these games with our Lord. It's a serious thing. Okay? Yeah, we see two people that didn't last long in the early church. They were buried pretty quickly after the church began. Now, a couple of things I've gotten from this also. Notice with the church, there were some internal problems that disrupted the unity of the church. Like I said before, we're sinners. You know, we can't walk holy all the time because we have the flesh, and the Bible says this flesh is pulling us towards sin. As believers, the Holy Spirit is in us, and he's pulling us toward holiness. And that's the struggle we have inside of us as believers. The Holy Spirit wants us to live a holy life because we now belong to the Lord. We are now spiritually alive. But our flesh loves to sin. That's what it loves to do. So we have this battle going on inside of us. So it's almost, unfortunately, a natural thing for issues to come inside the church that disrupts the unity of the fellowship. Like I said, it's kind of like when man touches something, he gets his hands on it, he defiles it. You know, if we're not walking in the Spirit, as the Bible says, if we're not walking closely to the Lord under his control and guidance, then we have a tendency to touch it and defile the thing. So we need to walk pure before our Lord. Something else I noticed here, Peter, through this whole thing, he kept his focus on the Lord in this problem. And you know what? We're going to see other problems they faced in the church too. And they continued to keep their focus on the Lord. The leadership did. And I think that's amazing. So for you and me, the encouragement I get from this is I need to keep my focus on the Lord too. No matter what kind of problems are going on, keep the focus on the Lord. See? Peter here could have got upset and just chewed on these people for a while, and he could have put it away for a while and chewed on it for days and everything else, but he dealt with the situation right there, keeping his eyes on the Lord. He said, you didn't lie to men. You lied to the Lord. And he kept his focus right there on what does this mean to God. And for you and me, I don't know about you, but I need, you can pray for me that I keep my focus on the Lord as troubles come and things happen, to always see it as best we can from God's perspective of what's going on according to the Lord. Okay? Right, another thing I noticed here too was, I brought this up already, who was working behind the scenes? It was Satan, the evil one. He's the one who wants to bring disunity into the fellowship. He's at work trying to cause problems in God's church. So wherever the Lord has the church planted, wherever it's growing, the evil one is trying to figure, how can I get in and cause problems? So they're mad at each other, and how can I cause problems? So they're mad at the leadership, and whatever else he can stir up. That's what he is into. So we have an enemy. He has a strategy. The Lord tells us in his word, we need to be awake. We need to be alert, be aware of the wiles of the devil there. So we need to pay attention to that. And the best way you and I can do that is by prayer. As we pray, we're saying, Lord, please help us to stay focused on you. And you know what? If everybody stays focused on the Lord, we're on the same page. You know, it's amazing how that works. That we just keep our focus on him. All right, let's look at verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, which is a portion of the temple there. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now that sounds funny the first time you read it, because at first it said nobody dared join them. And then it says a lot of people got saved and got part of the group. And what it was saying was that people stopped playing games with God for a while after these two people fell over dead. So the people were thinking, you know what, I'm not going to go. I was going to go just to kind of act like I was spiritual stuff, but I don't think I'm going to go there. So they waited until they were serious about the Lord, and then they joined. But notice the power of the Lord. He was working here. People were thinking, man, if God is that powerful, I want to be part of that. So they were coming into the fellowship, and I don't know if you caught this. It mentions in verse 14, it says, more and more men and women believed in the Lord. Now, that's an unusual thing to notice because it mentions women here. In the culture back here, the women didn't have too high of a standing, you know. When it talks, and they weren't mentioned much at all. You'll notice it talks about when Jesus fed the 4,000, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it tells you how many men were there. It doesn't tell you how many women were there. That's kind of how they did things. The focus was on the men, okay? But here we see things starting to change. Where now, we're seeing in the early church, men and women are acknowledged as being part of the group, okay? So you may not appreciate that much if you just look at it from our society today. We say, yeah, sure, men and women, no problem with that. But in their culture, that was an interesting thing. So the Lord was showing us here that if you're in Christ, you're on the same page too, okay? Now, verse 15, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. So there are so many miracles taking place. They were hoping to get their sick people just close enough to Peter for his shadow to touch them, trusting that they would be healed. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Now, I noticed this is kind of interesting, too, because we've been studying the harmony of the Gospels as we go through the ministry of Jesus. This sounds like it's Jesus' ministry. Crowds are starting to come, and they're bringing the sick people and demon-possessed people, and the Lord is taking care of all of them. And this sounds a whole lot like Jesus' ministry, because it was Jesus' ministry carried on through the apostles. He had allowed them to continue doing the work that he had already been doing. So we see this, that ministry goes on. And you know what? You and I, we have the same God that is talked about right here. We know him. So when you and I pray for people, we can know that we're asking the same powerful God to do powerful things. And there's nothing holding us back from asking. You know, the Lord might say, well, there's other situations going on that you don't understand, so I can't answer that prayer yes right now. I might have to say wait. I might have to say no. But we know as we pray, we're praying to that same powerful God that these guys knew back then, the same person today. Right, verse 17. Because things are going to change again now. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Now, some translations simply say they were filled with indignation. But that word can also be translated jealousy, and it makes sense with what we were just told. There are crowds coming, and a bunch of people are coming not to see the religious leaders. They're coming to see the apostles because the apostles were meeting their needs. Now, in that day and age, the religious leaders, they were corrupt. We saw that. They're the ones who were behind getting Jesus killed. So that says a lot about their character right there. If you came to them, they weren't really going to meet your needs. They might put their hand in your pocket. You know, they after your pocketbook. You better watch that when you're around them. But they really weren't into meeting your needs. But the apostles, they were the ones who were helping people, who cared about people. And that's where all these crowds were coming to. Now, I just say this today because we've got to be careful, too. There are places out there that call themselves a ministry. And as I look at some of them, they're more into, you better watch your pocket when you're around them, you know, because they're ready to grab in there and take something. I think the place we want to be is where people are helping us, you know, where if we have a real need, we can come to them and know that God is going to work through them, you know. Not that I have to go and say, oh man, I hate to go there because he's going to ask for another dollar, you know. No, that's not That's not what ministry is supposed to be. Ministry means serving, not taking. Okay? It means giving. All right, so we have these high priests here and all his associates, and it mentions they were members of the Sadducee party who didn't believe in the resurrection. They were filled with jealousy. It says they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Now, that's not what you would expect to hear. You would think when the angel came and opened the prison doors and let them go out, he would say, run, you know, go hide. But that's not what he said. He basically said, go back to where you were in the temple courts and continue to talk to the people and tell them the full message of this new life. Now, I tell you what, with these apostles, I'm really impressed with them because I noticed something about them. They had great power where God was really working through them in mighty ways, okay? Where people were healed, there were so many crowds coming just to have their sick people healed and demon-possessed people just delivered, you know, and there was all kinds of excitement going on. But what I've noticed is kind of interesting is these apostles who had this great power, they also had great problems, you know. They were thrown in jail. They were beaten. We're going to see they're going to be beaten here. They had all kinds of issues like that that went along with that responsibility they had. And I just say that, too, because today I know there are folks who really want to have some power, you know. They want to be the ones that people come to because we got the power, you know, and God's doing all kinds of powerful things through that. There's nothing wrong with the Lord working. We want to see that. Praise the Lord for that. But I don't want to be one of the people that has the power, you know, because I don't want people coming to me and wanting to beat on me and throw me in jail and things like that. You know, I just have a funny view of that kind of stuff. If it has to happen, then it has to happen. But I just caution people today because I know there are folks out there who want to grab this kind of power just for the prestige that goes with it. Well, these guys were willing to hang in there even through the rough stuff, which is impressive. Notice here, as they were told to go tell this message, it says in verse 21, at daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. My goodness, these guys had already been put in prison, they had been set free. I think our first thought would have been, where can I go hide, or go to another city, or something. But the Lord said, no, I want you to go right back where you were and continue telling people about Jesus right there. I want you to keep talking about Jesus. Now, I have something kind of funny here you might laugh at. 89.3 is the Calvary Chapel radio station, and the letters there are KTBJ, and our daughter Elizabeth, I'll put her on the spot a little bit, she came up with a little logo for that, keep talking about Jesus, from that KTBJ. Now, you're going to hear me refer to this because it really fits with this story, what we're seeing. And the message for you and me is, keep talking about Jesus, okay? Because there are going to be things that come that try to stop us from talking about Jesus. And in years past in our country, it wasn't much of a problem, but the pressure is getting tighter, if you've noticed. Things are starting to change. They're now coming with hate crimes they're trying to bring up. And when those things start coming against us as Christians, again, I don't think we need to be sidetracked with all the issues. Let's do what the apostles did, keep our focus on the Lord, and keep talking about Jesus. Because that's something they haven't clenched down on yet. Okay? Back in 63, they kicked God out of the schools, basically, when they removed prayer and the Ten Commandments. And we can see our country's been declining rapidly since then. And they make these other little moves, like taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. But they haven't gone so far yet to tell you and me we can't talk about Jesus publicly. Now, they have in a setting where they get you to pray or something and say you can pray, but don't mention Jesus' name. We talked about that before. But they haven't told you and me yet we can't go outside these doors and stop telling people about Jesus. We haven't heard that yet. So what we need to remember, especially as you look at this passage, is keep talking about Jesus. Okay? So these guys went on, they started teaching. It says in the middle of verse 21, when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin. So they showed up that morning for work, basically. The full assembly of the elders of Israel, that was the Sanhedrin, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. So they were ready for their trial that morning. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the guard, temple guard, and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. So again, we notice something about the religious leaders. They fear people. They fear the crowds. They want to keep the people looking at them, keep the respect of the people. So this time, with the crowd watching them preach, they said, they apparently had the temple guards go up and say, they want to meet with you guys. Would you please come with us and come now? So they didn't grab them and drag them off like they probably did the first time they arrested them. So then we get the guys coming here. It says in verse 28 there, I thought it was funny, they said they want to be questioned by the high priest. I don't really see him asking questions. I see him giving answers, you know, and commands to them. Verse 28, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Well, guess what? They were guilty. They're the ones who were pushing to get Jesus on the cross. They just didn't want to admit their guilt. Verse 29, "Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than man.'" And there's the principle for you and me. When it comes down to man telling us you can't do this and God telling us you must do this, we have to listen to God over man. So the day comes where they actually make a law in our country to say you cannot tell anyone anything in the name of Jesus. You can't use that name. As believers, we must obey God rather than men. Now see, this was scary stuff for these guys. This was their supreme court they were standing before, the Sanhedrin. This was as high a court as you're going to get in the Jewish faith. And in that group, they told them, no longer can you talk in Jesus. To use his name, you can't do that. And they had to make a decision here. We must obey God. Verse 30, "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead," there's that resurrection, "whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." I think it's implied it's not given you guys because you're not obeying him. They didn't say that, but I wonder if that's what they were thinking. You know, you can have the Holy Spirit too if you'll obey the Lord. Now, I find in that little passage we just looked at there are a couple of reasons why we should keep talking about Jesus. One reason is because of the gifts that God has given. If you notice here in verse 31, he said he is going that he might give repentance. The Bible talks about God giving repentance. That's not something we can do on our own. When we're sorry for our sin, God has to give us repentance that we can get right with him. He has to give us the opportunity and ability to change our direction from sin to God. So God gives us repentance. He also gives forgiveness. As it goes on and says, to give forgiveness of sins to Israel. So God gave the gift of repentance. He gave the gift of forgiveness. And he also gives the Holy Spirit, we're told here, to those who obey. So because God has done that for you and me, because he has given us the repentance, he has given us forgiveness, and he's given us the Holy Spirit, we must talk about Jesus. We've got to tell people about Jesus. Now it goes on here, the other reason I think we need to do this is because we are witnesses. You and I may not have seen the resurrected Christ, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he lives within you, you are a witness of that. You're a witness of what the Lord has done in your life. And that's another reason we can tell people about Jesus. Somebody said they can take a lot away from you, but they can't take away the personal work God has done in your life. That's something they can't take away. No matter what jail they put you in, no matter what they do to you, that's something they can never remove from you. Let's go further there in verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. So if it had been up to them, they'd have not only killed Jesus, they'd have killed all the apostles they had here too. So we see murder is still in their heart. Verse 34, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. So he got the apostles out of there so they could talk. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean also appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, really, I think what he didn't want trouble. He didn't want trouble from the people because he knew the people were watching these guys now. And he didn't want trouble from the Roman government because if they got in a riot, the Romans might really clamp down on them harder still, being over them. So verse 40, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So they took a beating for Jesus. Day after day, in the temple courts, they went right back to where they were told not to go because they said we must obey God. It says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So these guys, even though they took a beating, they didn't quit. They went right back doing what God told them to do, to tell people about Jesus. Now, a couple lessons I learned from what we've looked at here. There may be times when we're tempted to stop talking about Jesus, and it could be due to fear, to threats, to ridicule, but don't let those things stop you, because the Lord wants you and I to be involved in making disciples. That's what he left his church to do. And part of that discipling is to tell people about Jesus. So don't let those things discourage you. The enemy will bring some of those things around maybe to try to stop you and me, but we don't need to listen to that. The one we work for is a lot more powerful than our enemy. Also, I noticed this. You know this guy Gamaliel? God will send someone to help you out because here's a guy that wasn't on the side of the believers, and yet God was using him to get the apostles a chance to continue talking about Jesus. So the Lord will do that for you and me too. He'll send people in that will give us more opportunity to keep talking about Jesus. So don't be discouraged about that. The Lord even sent an angel for Peter, right? He led Peter out of prison with some of the guys there. So the Lord will work those things out to help us speak. I know when I was at the Mardi Gras ministry down in New Orleans down there, and we were talking to people about Jesus. You know, there were different times when you get discouraged. People start throwing stuff at you and things like this, you know. But it's interesting to me that the Lord would always have somebody come along and encourage you and say, man, we're glad you guys are down here. Thanks for doing this, you know. And they weren't with us or anything, and I don't know that they were even believers, but they were saying, we're glad you guys are here. So we always had people that would encourage us to keep doing what we were doing. You know, and even down there, some of the police officers, they came out of nowhere sometimes to stop a situation that could have gotten really bad. They jumped right in and moved people out of the way and allowed us to keep doing what we were doing. But at the first, it looked like it was going to be a rough way to go. So we have learned that, you know, the Lord will provide a way for you to continue speaking. If we say, yes, Lord, I'll do this, he doesn't say the rough times may not come, but he will bring people along to encourage you to keep going. Something else here. The world wants you to be on a different radio station than this one. The world wants you to be on the QTBJ. That is, quit talking about Jesus. But remember, you need to be on the KTBJ. You need to be on the KTBJ, keep talking about Jesus station. That's what And I don't mean literally the station, but we need to keep talking about the Lord. Okay, we're going to go pray at the moment here, and then we'll take some more. We'll take questions if anybody has those and prayer requests. But today, if the devil's been working trying to get you to stop talking, if something's happened this last week to discourage you, to not want to talk about Jesus, take that to the Lord right now, and we'll let the Lord work. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful to know you. Lord, you are the only one who has answers in this life. And Father, if anyone here today has been tempted to stop talking about Jesus, I pray today, Lord, that you would give them strength and boldness. Let them hear your voice, Lord, to say, keep talking about Jesus. Jesus, you have done so much for us. How can we not tell people that you offered us eternal life, that you have changed our life from a direction of sin and destruction and brought us to yourself? And Father, if there is someone here today who doesn't know you yet, who has not repented and asked Jesus to come into their heart, please help them today, Lord, that they would accept you and your free forgiveness. No matter what we've done, Lord, you are always there to let us run to you and receive forgiveness. We just want to thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and give you the praise. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will